Thank you. hours of more than 12:15 to have a forum on the Lord declared to me, name his curse, be marked for that by his word. And we spent a few weeks looking at the cry of curse came as a verbal reaction to the word of God declaring judgment on God. And we noted that in this reaction we find the response of all the curse, all the faithless of the word of God declaring judgment. We saw that verbally came complaining, came selfish, and came showing he had some knowledge, but he also showed that he had a total lack of understanding regarding the word of God. And we highlighted the point that came verbal response, which revealed his heart, revealed his lack of faith, because out of a heart now speaks, right? Out of resource means heart and mind. That's important because we establish through Scripture how those that are in the way of Cain walk according to their own heart. And Jude 16 says they follow after their own ungodly lust. Those in the way of Cain are driven by their fleshly passions and lust. And we saw that reflected in Jude's word. In regards to their mind, the book of Jude describes those in the way of Cain as those men who revile things they do not understand, things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by whom they are destroyed. And Jude 19 further describes those who have seen as being worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. And here we find that the mind of natural man is worldly minded. They are driven, and Cain's words reflected that he is worldly, fleshly minded. And we learn that natural man, faithless man, like Cain, not only does not understand the word of God, but can't understand the word of God. They're unable to do so. And Romans 8:5 raises this for us so clearly. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, for those who are according to the Spirit, the mindset of the flesh is death, the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace, because the mindset of the flesh is hostile, hostile to God. It does not present itself to the law of God, for it is not immediately able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot do God. So, remember when King Burl responded, King Louis worried about finding sustenance in this life, on this earth. And King was concerned about the physical and earthly blessings from the ground, his comfort on the ground, and being put in the ground by men. He was concerned about God. Concerned about other men. King did not understand or care about the spiritual and heavenly blessings. Cain shows no concern for understanding that he is spiritually dead or that he's marked for the second death. He does not understand that his sin against the eternal God requires an eternal death, an eternal separation from the Lord. Again, Cain is concerned about this life and any man who finds him in Cain. Cain is not concerned about what happens to his soul after his guilt by his unchanged. Scripture makes clear for us that the Lord God, the word of the Lord God is diametrically opposed, exact opposite to the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Says it again in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you can act with it. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the passion and desire to be good by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Two different sides, they're in opposition. Last week we moved from Cain's verbal response to the Lord and his word and started looking at Cain's active response to the word of the Lord in verses 16 and 17. Just as Cain's verbal, his words, through his response to the word of God verbally, revealed his faithlessness in his heart and mind, so Cain's active response revealed his sin. And so last week we began looking at this question. What do the cursed or the faithless, what do they do in this fallen and sinful world in response to the word of God declaring their judgment? What are Cain's actions? We looked at three actions. Remember what we've learned here in verses 16 fleshly minded. They're worldly minded. They walk according to their own thoughts. So they're committed, and we have an indication of what the action is of first Cain, the faith that they're going to be. Cain walked according to the lusts of his flesh. In verses 16 and 17 of chapter 4, they describe to us three different acts that Cain did. And these are the same acts that curse the faithless men do today. These are the same acts that curse men have always done and will do until the Lord returns to bring with retribution upon them. So these three things are in use for us in 4, 16, and 17. So let's read that. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. He had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Last week we did the first thing that Cain did, Acts 1st chapter. That was Cain went out. And we talked about this last week. Put simply, Cain walked away. This was the first thing Cain did. And we noted that Cain went out willingly. He was not sent out of the place of blessing by God as Adam and Eve were. He was not driven out of God's presence as his parents, as Eve were on the garden of Eden. With Cain, the catalyst for Cain leaving the presence of God was Cain himself. Scripture says then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain had his own volition, his own will. According to Cain's will, according to Cain's desire, according to Cain's way, he went out from the presence of the Lord. And Cain went out willingly with his desire to go out from something. He didn't want to be near something. What he went out from was the presence of the Lord. Why? He said he couldn't sin. If you notice the scripture last week, that nothing is hidden from the Lord God, who is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The Word of God discerns us as a number of light to our path. It discerns us, it exposes us, it holds us accountable for our sins, it reproves, forgives, and exhorts us. We talked about that at length. And the faithless or the cursed man does not like being exposed. So the faithless or the cursed man does not like the liar. And instead, he goes to what he loves. And John 3 tells us that men love the darkness rather than the light for their evil reasons. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deed will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deed may be manifested as having been wrought in God. King not only went from something, he went from the presence of the Lord, he went to something else. King went from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. King went to the land of Nod and settled there. King went to the east of Eden. He willingly chose to go, he said, deeper and deeper into the direction that his parents were driven when they sinned and were sent out of the place of blessing and joy. As Cain saw deeper and deeper into sin, Cain went further and further. And we saw how Scripture often mentions the peaks as a reminder of this account and the nature of fallen, first, faithless man. We also saw that the king settled in the land of Nod, which means wandering. Cain took immediate action after receiving the word of God that he would be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. He was settled down. In other words, Cain made every effort to go against and to defy his limited understanding of the word of God. And yet, as we will see today, Cain spent his life in vanity, chasing and striving after the wind, looking, seeking peace, blessing life, and never being able to find it. Cain refused to submit himself and willingly went out from the presence of the one who could give him. He left that. Okay, so we now come to verse 17. We see the second act of Cain. In response to the word of God, declaring judgment upon him. It says in verse 17a this: Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. So, I like to keep our outline reminds us of Adam and Eve after the fall. We already saw at the end of chapter 3 that because of their sin, Adam and Eve were sent out by God. They were driven out of the Garden of Eden to the east. We saw how in response to the word of God declaring judgment upon Cain, Cain first willingly went out further into the east and away from the presence of the Lord. In regards to what Adam and Eve did next after being driven out of the garden, we have Genesis 4 verse 1, which we already studied back in September. Says that, look back at the beginning of the chapter. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Now similarly, the next thing we read about Cain in verse 17 of chapter 4 is Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Now when we studied Genesis 4, 1 back in September, we said that in the actions of Adam and Eve, having relations, conceiving life, bearing children, we saw the grace and mercy and goodness of the Lord, fallen man, fallen woman, beginning, and life. And here is a wonder that even after all that Cain has done in his faithlessness, sinning against his brother, sinning against God, you have seen high-handed rebellion and outright rejection of the Lord, and His Word, deserving, and promising that. Even after judgment has been declared upon Cain and Cain all have rebellion in that judgment, the Lord shows grace and mercy and goodness to Cain out here. So, we have a few points under the God-given blessing of Jesus. He enjoyed the God-given blessing of Jesus. Remember what the Lord God said in Genesis 2:18. He declared, it is not good for man to be alone. I can make him close. This statement was made by the Lord. That statement is just as true in a fallen and sinful world. It is not good for man to do it. Now, we already established, we know from our life that the sin of man always brings separation. Separation from good, separation from logic, separation from God. But even when you sin against someone, you're not somebody that doesn't separate you from them. The sin of Adam and Eve, the sin of Cain, called for death, the ultimate book of the Spirit. And although the Lord God drove men out of the garden and they were separated from his presence, God did not separate Adam and Eve from the good state of happiness. Now, although Cain rejected the Lord God and willingly left his presence, although Cain had the word of God pronouncing judgment upon him, although Cain was marked worried that whoever was lying in the jail, he was worried about interacting. He was not alone on the earth. Not only was Cain not alone, but Cain had a good and gracious gift of sin. It says Cain had relations. And that intimacy came in God's good and gracious gift of sin. But he had relations. Proverbs 18:22 tells us, the institution of marriage was established by the Lord God and given to man by the Lord God for the good and the blessing of his life. Before the fall, and this gift of marriage continued after Adam and Eve fell into sin, within the fall. Further, the name is granted to him. well, as if she was, we don't know her name, because the report for her name, she was reported as a wife. But we do know where she came from, because Richard tells us where she came from. Now, remember what had happened in Genesis 3:20. Adam called his wife's name. And why did he do that? Richard tells us why he called her name. He says in Genesis 3:20,
mother of all the
absolute. Because she was the mother of all the living. So we know based on Scripture that white did not come from some other unknown race of people, because there was no other race of people. James White came from me, because she was the mother of all the living. James White was King's sister. In regards to the progeny of the children of Adam and Eve, Scripture records the names of only three sons, and he was named for Seth. But in Genesis 5:4, it lists the godly line of Adam through Seth. Scripture notes in the verse regarding Adam that he had other sons and daughters. Now, we don't know exactly how many, we don't know exactly when, but the wording of Genesis 4:16-17 seems to suggest that Cain already had a wife when he went out from the presence of the Lord. So, the fact that Cain's wife came from Adam, and he is even more clear when you look at the original Hebrew word for wife used in Genesis 4:17, first mention of Cain's wife is this, I-S-H-S-H-A-H, and he says, woman, wife, and Cain knew his Ishak, his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and wrote it and called him, so he happened to name his son. Now, the word Ishak is the word for woman, and means from man. It is a derivation of the Hebrew word Ish, which is spelled I-Y-S-H, and Enosh, which means woman. This can be seen in Genesis 2:23, where the name woman is given to one who came from Adam. It says, and Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, or Ishak, thus, Cain's wife is a descendant of Adam, and therefore she had to be the sister of both the apostles. Now, what about the second obvious question we have about the beginning of man's procreation? Why would God allow brothers to be your sisters? Isn't that a commandment of the Word of God? Now, a helpful informative group we have to Genesis is a good response for our employee. Actually, if you don't marry your relation, you don't marry it. A wife is related to a husband before they're married. If all people are descendants of Adam or of one, the law forbidding close relatives marrying would not give them until the time of voting. Provided marriage was one man, or one woman, or one. There was no disobedience to God's law originally before the time of Moses. Close relatives, even brothers and sisters, married each other. Remember that Abraham was married to his sister. Well, God's law forbade such marriages, but that was some 400 years later at the time of Moses. Okay, so things were different in the beginning. And there's biological. Didn't exist. Okay. Now, point B under first subsection two, Cain partook in the God-given blessing of life. Then read in Genesis 4:17, after Cain had relations with his wife and she. This too is a good and gracious gift from the Lord. And as you saw, we studied how he. We saw then, and we remind ourselves now, that it is the Lord God who is the one who opens and closes the womb. Genesis 32, remember Jacob pulled and verified Rachel. And I am the place of God, but the Lord allowed the wife of his rebellious and faithless first man, Mark, for judgment and death. Result in a man of rebellion. When God does open the womb of a child, the child is knit together in that mother's womb by the Lord God. Psalm 139, verse 13. Before I am referring to both me and my mother's womb, I will thank you for I fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and I told those this very much. My frame was not hidden from you, but I was made in secret and skillfully brought to the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed. And your book were all written. They that ordained you, and they have your will. So, can't receive another. Conception, life, from the womb, the wife. Third, can't receive the God in his life. Put yourself to deep right now that you see that she gave birth. Psalm 127:3 reminds us that children are a gift of the Lord through the womb, womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children. And again, what we have here, we have first King, judged by the word of God, mark for that, he received life from God in the form of a child that came from him. First faithless King is given to get children by God. Now, think about the faithless, unbelieving people in your community, in your lives. According to Scripture today, like all faithless people, are marked with judgment. Now, do these people get married? Do these people receive their children? Now, we could get. These people love the paper, and these people enjoy blessings from the Lord God brought by them. Now we can get into how they came from this user to God, these blessings and their sins, but that is not our point today. The point is that the wicked have friends out. The wicked get married. Some very happily, according to your book. The wicked have kids, so those kids turn out great. Successful. Good jobs. More people. But never have kids alone. It's true today. And this point seems a bit confusing. Why is first faithless King, who rejected and rebelled against the word of God for his life, was marked with judgment and death by God and the word of God, to walk away from the presence of the Lord God and actively force it? Good and gracious gifts from the Lord God. In other words, it's the same question the psalmist asked. Why is the wicked prosper? Well, we can't answer that question yet because scripture does not tell us how many prosper. So let's look at the third act of Cain in response to the word of God declaring the time in verse 17b. It says this, and he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his with our third one, obviously, King Bill, A-Z. King Bill. We see building as a good thing. Building means prosperity, it means progress, it means ingenuity and power. Building requires intelligence with an eye toward the future, the goal of establishment. And what did the person King Bill on this earth? Now we know what a city is. It's a physical place where people are gathered who live and who work and trade together. And we see here that King built an earthly city, a physical place with his hand. This one who acknowledged the word of the Lord to him in judgment that he would be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. This man who was afraid that whoever found him would kill him. Not only settled build a city where he would eventually be surrounded by people. He did this not only as an attempt to thwart the word of God regarding King's judgment, but in direct disobedience to the Lord God's word, which when he previously commanded men in Genesis 1, when he made peace to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And subdue it. But he wasn't having that. As a side note, think about the fact that he built a city. Even Christians have been tainted by the evolutionary thinking of our age to assume that as time goes by, man is becoming better and smarter and more ingenious. The reality is that it happens. Yes, we have computers and airplanes and maybe technology, but this palace was built up over time. Again, the answer to Genesis points out that when the first two people were created, they were perfect. Everything God made was declared to be very, very good. And that means that their genes were perfect, no mistake. But when sin entered the world because of Adam, God cursed the world so that the perfect creation was degenerate. That it suffered death. Over a long period of time, this degeneration would have resulted in all sorts of mistakes occurring in our genetic material of living beings. That's the reason why, again, brothers and sisters don't marry yet. Because they share the same mistakes. If you brothers and sisters together, that's what they pass on the mistake. You get people that aren't related, or their relations separated a little bit more. Mistakes aren't going to line up. But Cain wasn't the first generation of children that was ever born. He, as well as his brothers and sisters, would have received virtually no perfect genes from Adam and Eve. In fact, the sin first would have been from the start. In that situation, brother and sister again were married, provided as one man and woman. Without any potential of producing newborns and offspring, we must remember that our brains have suffered for 6,000 years of purpose. We have greatly degenerated compared to people many generations ago. And we take nowhere to be our heads to tell us what's happening. Scripture gives us a glimpse of what appears to be advanced technology. And we see from Scripture that this is true in verse 20 and 22 of chapter 4. We read the great sale of ancient projects and various endeavors. Now think about the wicked or the first or the faithless in our time. Right now. Did they build? Of course they did. Did they build earthly cities? Yeah. They always have, and they always will. The wicked build cities and buildings and bridges and universities and products and companies and institutions. Cities that have dirt for a long time. Buildings that are strong. Products that are successful on this earth. The first man, the faithless man, has always been a building man. A man who builds upon this earth. Why do they do it? They build for one reason. Faithless man builds upon this earth. This is the words of King Nebuchadnezzar before the Lord God. What he said. He reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great? talked about previously about Adam giving names to the animals, Adam naming his wife Eve. The act of naming shows one's authority over the thing named. He named the city he had built, and even though he named it for his son, he was building up his own name on it. The Hebrew word for name also carries the idea of the reputation of the name of the Lord, of a memorial or monument. He built this city as a memorial and a monument. He built this city for his own name. Just like such is the way of the labor and the wicked and the first city that I am today and throughout. He built upon the earth for the purpose of building. Such was the stated reason of Noah's descendants and the flood when they built our family. Look at what they say in Genesis 11, 4, 3. They said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a home. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the world. The faithless man works and works to build himself a name and increase his name throughout the world. Men have always made cities after themselves and their progeny to their glory. The humans would establish their own power and authority. They put their names on cities, they put their names on buildings, they put their names on monuments, theories, discoveries, products, passions, fragrances. All in the vain effort to obtain some type of permanent. He built earthly football things. He also built an earthly legacy. Earthly legacy. He not only built up a family as a son, he not only built a city, he built earthly legacy. Look at what became of his son in the city in verse 18. Now, Enoch was born, Arad, and Arad became the father of Menjael, and Menjael became the father of Menjael, and Menjael became the father of Lamech. And Lamech took himself two wives. The name of the one was Adam, the name of the other was Zillah. Adam gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwelt in tents and had livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who played the lyre and the flute. After Zillah, she also conceived and gave birth to the forger of all implements of bronze and iron, and the sister of people came was Nehemiah. So what do we see most first and most obviously is he was not only the father of one son, but his progeny exploded in them. Here in these few verses, we have six generations of King's progeny. Now we don't know how long King lived because scripture does not tell us, but we do know that men lived for very long periods of time before the flood. We know how long Seth's brother lived. Seth was alive to see seven generations of. So we're not surprised that if Cain was alive and well, to see how he came in. He built the city. And Lamech, Cain's great-great-great-grandson, his family are a picture of the earthly life that Cain built for himself, represented in Lamech's children. Great, 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 great. Now, we have first the earthly legacy of increasing riches. The earthly legacy of increasing riches in verse 20. Look, it says, Jabal, he was the father of those who dwell in tents and had livestock. He left and a legacy to his progeny of increasing riches. First came with worry. Remember, right after the word of God talked about eating and being sustained from the fruit of the ground. He was the father now of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And we know from our previous studies that livestock was a measure of wealth in ancient times. Cain was a
great grandfather of all who had great Israelites. The curse, the wicked, the faithless man, is like First Peter's prophecy. He puts his trust in and pursues the riches of this world that are passing and fading away. Listen to the words of the prophet Amos to Judah and Israel regarding the word of the Lord about the coming exile, their coming exile, their impending judgment and death. Amos told them in their riches, he says in Amos 6:4, about them, those who recline on beds of ivory and sprawl on their couches, and many lambs and flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who improvise the sound of a harp and like David, who songs to themselves, who drink wine from sacrificial bowls while they anoint themselves with the finest oil. Yet they have not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they will now go to hang around the head of the and the sprawler's face. Sprawler's face. They are around the The wicked, the cursed, the faithless, that always lived from the beginning and still live as if their life consists of what they have. Jesus warned us about this specifically. Luke 12, 15 says, beware and be under guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. He told him a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning for himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul requires you, and now no longer there. So is the man who stores up treasure. The wicked, the faithless, are always concerned with building up riches in this world. They are not concerned with being rich. Such was First King's concern and efforts and actuality. This was his legacy that he passed on to his children, and it's the legacy of all the faithless. Second, he built an earthly legacy of increasing beauty, pleasure, and entertainment. You all, he was the father of all who played the lyre and the lyre. He lived an earthly legacy of increasing beauty and pleasure and entertainment. First King was worried, remember, of being a favorite and a mother on the earth, about getting the next meal. He built a legacy for his children. They walked in that legacy. You all was the father of all those who played the lyre and myself. People that are desperate to survive spend all their time and efforts to obtain the sustenance that they need for their life, for their family, to survive. They help spend a lot of time making you are in need of growth, you're in your soul. You're going to die from what you want. You don't really care about the child's growth. People that have the things that they need, that are rich, they then pursue what gives them pleasure on this earth. If you have the money, the choice, the ability, you're going to buy a trophy you think is not only music and song that always give pleasure. Music and song has always been entertaining. Back then it was, and today it is music. Cain was the great of all those who played the lyre. And Cain built a legacy of increasing concern and the pursuit of first,
The wicked and the faithless are always concerned and pursuing all. They are not concerned about things. This is the words of the prophet Isaiah before their judgment and exile on the people of Jerusalem and Judah in Isaiah 5 as well. Their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute, and by wine, but they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord. That was the same thing we read in the last prophet that we read before. Remember it said, like, David gave him a quote song to himself, memorize the sound of the Lord. Such is the cursed way of a person that is faithless to the Lord. They made some beautiful stuff. They made beautiful music. They made beautiful music. Very beautiful. It is a pleasure to hear. They draw us in. Their great concern on the third earth is being entertained and pleasure in their pursuit of being on the earth. Just like the first thing. We don't care how the beauty of God is. We have a heart. They're entertaining themselves then. We've got to remember this when our kids are crying to us because they feel like they. Third, meanwhile, the earthly life we have increasing ingenuity and progress. Look at verse 22. Who will tame the forger of all implements of bronze and iron? Meanwhile, the earthly life we have increasing ingenuity, progress, intelligence, and worldly wisdom. Cain was a builder and built up that legacy for his children, and they walked in that legacy. His progeny, who will tame the son of Lamech, was the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. Now there's an old a Danish antiquary. His name was Christian Jurgensen Thomsen. He died in 1865. He was a company who developed archaeological techniques and methods many years ago. He's the one that came up with a three-gauge chronological system, which is evolutionary in its name. You've heard of it. That is, man evolved and became more advanced and smarter. They developed tools that became more advanced. So you can determine the age of things by what tools have used. Here we read in the Bible that before the flood, men were not only forgers of implements of bronze and iron, but they had the ingenuity and the intelligence to mine these metals and these ores. Commentators believe that the events of the book of Job occurred at a time after Babel, but before Gabriel. And in Job 28:1-11, Job gives us a description of the ingenuity that men use to mine these precious metals and jewels. That is in Job 28:1. Surely there is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from dirt, and copper is smelted from ore. Man goes into darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness. Shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from the people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They sway to and fro. As for the earth, from it comes bread. But underneath it is turned out as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires. They contain gold dust. That hath no bird comes, nor is the falcon eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He put his hands on the flint. He overturns the mountains and the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eyes see every precious thing. He dams up the streams for trickling. What is it? He brings gold. We can take this for a bunch of things. We are the wicked, the thing of us, have always been ingenious and progress and worldly wisdom and developing methods to accomplish what they desire on this earth. First came with boats in this wisdom, and he built his city and his progeny boats in this wisdom as they dug into the ground and made implements of bronze and iron. Faithless first man today in our time continues with boats of their earthly wisdom and ingenuity and claim that they can accomplish any goal or fix any problem with their technology and ingenuity. Faithless man spent their life pursuing earthly wisdom to accomplish earthly things by heaven. But faithless do not see or care about them. Listen again to the words of the prophet Jeremiah 9:22. Speak, thus says the Lord, the corpses of men will fall like dung on the open field and like the sheep after the reaper, but no one will gather them. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast of this, that he understands and knows. I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in you. There's the Lord. Behold, the days are coming. There's the Lord. I will punish all who are uncircumcised and yet uncircumcised. This is the way of every day of a person. They can vote in their birth and live in their family. You know, hear about them. They don't vote. They don't. These are Cain acting in response to the word of God and hearing the judgment of death. At first, reading to the Lord, their life looks pretty good. Cain built a family, buildings, a name, a legacy on this earth. These are also the acts of all the faithless, of everyone who walks in the way of Cain. In light of the word of God declares their judgment. They establish a legacy for themselves on this earth. They accumulate riches on this earth. They have beauty and pleasure and entertainment on this earth. They are filled with earthly and worldly wisdom on this earth. They use earthly ingenuity to accomplish amazing earthly goals. But their end is saved in the end of the talk more about this next week. But for now, I want you to listen to the words of Psalm 39, verses 5. Which is my first and all along today. Psalm 39, verses 5. Why should I fear in the day of evil, when the iniquity of my heels surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitudes of their riches, none of them by any means is deemed brother, nor give God a reason for it. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, and you should continue to live eternally and not be a thing. For he sees wise men down, likewise the fool and senseless person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their house will last forever. Their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, no one honor does not make his life with means to perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity will prove their sayings. Like sheep, their blade is great. Death shall be on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave. Far from their dwelling. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. glory shall not descend out of him. But while he lives, he blesses himself, or as a priest himself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers, and he shall never see life. A man who is in honor and does not understand his life. Sad state of person all in Christ. All who walk in the way, all things, all of us, all of us. All of us. But this is not the same one who is faithful. The faithful do not love the world. They do not seek to the things of the world. They like the name of their Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. They seek not earthly wisdom, but they seek the wisdom that is from above, in the Lord, and in the way. They long to partake not to build up their own legacy, but to partake of the legacy of Jesus Christ, and of his inheritance, and his promise. So that they can say with Paul, it is only crying out and submitting in faith to one who builds and not destroys. The one who has a name that will never pass. The one who has life that will never end. That we may not be destroyed. That we may laugh. Next week we will end chapter 4 by looking at the personification of the legacy of the king. His great, great, great name. In light of all the earthly progress he makes, we may expect that they can make spiritual progress as well. Maybe they will have to know about how to do that. In favor of the end of the Lord. Great. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its clarity, and thank you that it is consistent from the beginning to end. Father, as we read the description of the acts of the faithful and the works of the king, Father, our hearts are correct, but as we know that many times that is in our hands, we are so often. You would add all of those.